It's October 30th, 2009. Hello and welcome to Media Shift 4-Minute Roundup, or 4MR, where I condense new media news for you in 4 minutes each week. My name is Mark Glazer. I'm executive editor of PBS Media Shift, covering the intersection of media and technology. First, here's the news. Microblogging service Twitter officially unveiled its new lists feature, meaning that you can now group your favorite Twitterers into groups of interest. So all the technology folks could be on one list, all the baseball players on another, and all the ballet dancers on another. I realize now I need to follow more ballet dancers. While organizing all your Twitter folks into lists is a major pain in the beginning, it gets easier once you've categorized everyone. And to help you find great lists to follow, a new site called Listorious just launched. While many power users feel like Twitter lists might replace RSS feed readers, others see it as another superficial way to gauge popularity. Lauren Good of the Wall Street Journal wrote that Twitter lists creates a sort of popularity contest, showing users how many lists others have been added to, presumably because the user's tweet content falls into a certain category or adds value to the list, end quote. In other news, print magazines continue to take a beating, despite signs that the recession might be easing up. The New York Times reported that Time Inc., the publisher of Time, People, and Fortune magazines, was planning on cutting $100 million in costs, and the New York Post expects 540 layoffs at Time Inc. Plus, the Washington Post recently announced profits were up overall for the company in the third quarter, but its magazine group had revenues drop 33%, with Newsweek magazine losing 48% of sales in the quarter. Mediaite's Colby Hall wonders why Newsweek was enjoying a recent bout of Condé Freud, reporting about Condé Nast possibly losing $1 billion in revenues this year, when Newsweek itself was doing so poorly. One is reminded of the lesson of glass houses and throwing stones, wrote Hall. But of course, who will report on media companies' troubles if all troubled companies couldn't write about them? Now it's time for just one question. I talked with Robert Scoble, social media power user at Rackspace, and asked him, how have Twitter lists changed your life?
Right away, Twitter went from something where you talk about your what you had for lunch, to actually a news aggregator, or an interest aggregator is more accurate. And the other thing is now I can group my people together into bundles of interest, or into bundles of expertise, right? So I have a list of venture capitalists, and I have a list of founders or entrepreneurs. The feeds that come off those lists are quite different. Now that they're separate, they're much more useful.
To hear the entire interview, visit PBS Media Shift. Now for this week's poll at Media Shift. The question is, what's the future for Newsweekly magazines? Our last poll question was, what do you think about the real-time web? 43% said it's an exciting, important development, 21% said there's too much hype, and 21% said the slow-time web is fast enough. Be sure to keep up to date with all the news, polls, and events over at PBS Media Shift at pbs.org/mediashift and our sister blog, Idea Lab, at pbs.org/idealab. Thanks to PBS and the Knight Foundation for making this podcast possible. Until next time, remember, if you're a media consumer, media mixer, or a media maker, shift happens.